this morning is not about lifting anyone up. It's not about lifting a person up. But I truly believe by us recognizing the church at large and what's going on at large, because we're in such an isolated place, aren't we? We see things on the news and we see things on this video. Those things sometimes still aren't real to us because we have so much media and we watch so many movies and we, you know, hear about things, but it's still far removed. But today is for us to remember, you know, we've talked about this and I've tried to bring it home for you, is that you remember that you have a family in these far off places. They are our family. They are the ones who are born of the same father that we are born of. They are more of your family than those in your family who've not submitted their lives to the Lord. They are our family and we are called to pray for them. Are we asking God to deliver them? As God leads, but there are those that God does not deliver out of this lifetime, but He calls them home. And so I am going to use the scripture in Acts chapter 7. It is about the first martyr, about Stephen. Is Stephen the man that God crowned? There are two words for crown in the New Testament. Diadema, which means a royal crown. And it gives us the English word that we use for diadem. And Stephanos, the victor's crown, which gives us the name Stephen. You can inherit a diadema, but the only way to get a Stephanos is to earn it. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, the Holy Spirit is very precise in what He records. Everything is here for a reason. And as we go through this life and we take opportunity to read this Word, to feed ourselves and to renew our minds, God reveals things and He just peels back the layers and He shows us what He did not show us yesterday, He will show us today. And so the Holy Spirit has recorded here in this, if you start in Acts chapter 6, if you want to know more about Stephen, if you'll go there and you can read that on your own time. But the Holy Spirit has recorded his name here. Now, he recorded his name and his position in the church is recorded. You know, we call him one of the first deacons, and it was really a server. He was a server in the church. And not only that, his sermon is recorded. And not only that, he is the first martyr that's recorded in the infant church. Do you realize that the church is still in the beginning stages? This is before anyone has had to die. The Holy Spirit records the death of a deacon. Sometimes in the church we think, "I want to be great. I want to have this great position." But the Holy Spirit saw fit to record the death of a deacon, a server, one in the church. And we find no record. I want you to think about this. We find no record in Scripture of the death of the apostles, of Peter or of the Apostle Paul, whom we all love to quote. Only the death that awaited them is what's recorded. But the Holy Spirit recorded Stephen's death. He recorded the time and the detail of Stephen's death. In verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with the teeth. It is amazing because, you know, it records earlier that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. And in Scripture, to be full of means to be controlled by. So we know what was controlling Stephen, right? It was the Holy Spirit that controlled his life. But here we see, as he is preaching this message, that these dignified, prominent religious leaders, what we would call the cream of the crop. And I want you to remember, Saul, the Apostle Paul, is present for this. They were there listening. And so then we see that these men were so filled with anger. This is what the message of the gospel will do. These men were so filled with anger and hatred and outrage that they gnashed. They were baring their teeth at this man. And it records earlier, it says that when he was speaking to them, that he had the face of an angel as he was speaking. He was not angry or outraged at them. He was preaching to them for their salvation, for them to be saved. And so when they looked at him, they saw the face of an angel. When he looked at them, he saw the face of God's enemy. And this is a perfect picture of those who will occupy hell. We don't like to stop and think about that, but it is. This just describes those who resist the gospel and those who will inherit hell. Stephen knew the audience that he was preaching to, and he knew what they did to Jesus. And as you read through his sermon, Stephen realized that his death was a sure outcome. Now, we have those in our congregation who are able to go out on the streets and be able to deliver the message. And I'm not sure. I know that I've been on the street and preached, but I've not once thought that they would take my life. That's not a concern right now. It's a concern maybe that they just reject the message. But it's not a concern that they're going to gather them up and take them out and stone them. That's not their concern. But Stephen knew this as he stood there and he delivered it. And as their faces, as he was looking into their face, he realized what the outcome of his message would be. The outcome of me preaching here today, I'm not concerned that you're going to stone me. You might go home and stone me. You're not going to take the breath out of my body today. I have such liberty. And Stephen had liberty to preach. But when he was standing there preaching, the only thing that it did for him as he looked in their faces, it caused his faith to rise even more. It caused him to become more zealous. He was encouraged to be bold to deliver the word. He did not change his message to accommodate his audience. That is not what we are called today as the body of Christ to do. There is only one message. We tie it up in different bows and present it on different platters. But there is only one message, and that Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived and he died. He laid down his life. He is the one who shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And those who call on his name and believe in him are saved. Amen. Amen. Yes. And so there's no other message.
That's right.
And so in Matthew 26, verse 59, it says, "Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death." In verse 65, it says, "Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. And what further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy.'" In verse 67, "Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands." And in the original, where it says the palm of their hands, it means that they were striking him with rods. And this is Jesus before these same men that Stephen is now before. What they did to Jesus, they will do to those who follow him. What they did to Jesus, they will do to those who follow him. They did to Stephen. What brought these men to the point of gnashing their teeth at Stephen, with the end result of him being stoned to death? In Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56, let's read this again. "But he," Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Stephen's faith to follow Jesus opened the heavens to him. Religion blinds the eyes. Pride resists the Holy Spirit. If heaven is not open to you, let this be a warning. Religion blinds the eyes. And pride will resist the Holy Spirit. But faith allows you to see the heavens opened.
Amen.
And the very one on whom we have believed. Stephen saw him standing in the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." In verse 64, Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now, exactly what Jesus had said... Stephen said exactly what Jesus had said to them. They were so furious when Jesus said, "You're going to see the heavens opened, and you will see the Son of God, the Son of Man sitting, the Son of God sitting at the right hand of power." That Jesus was telling them what they understood, what we read through and we may not understand. Jesus was telling them that he had the power over life and death. He was the one who would judge. And it threw them in such a rage. And that is what it is when you present the gospel to an unbeliever. You are saying that there is one who will judge your eternity. And when men hear that today, they think, "No one has the right to judge me. No one has the right to judge my eternity." But Jesus does. And Stephen said the same thing. And what happened with Stephen is the heavens were opened. And... listen, when Stephen looked, this is what it says. It's so amazing. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven. He didn't just go, "Oh, look." His eyes were fixed. He saw the heavens opened, and he saw Jesus. He saw the risen, living Savior. He was giving testimony to what Jesus had told them. He said exactly, and he stood exactly as our Lord. And it created such a rage in them that they could not contain themselves. As you think about them all through their history, they would walk around in their long robes and their phylacteries, and they would present themselves, and they thought that they were of such high stature, that they thought they were so dignified, and they had everything under control. But let me tell you what, when Jesus comes in, all control is gone. You can't walk with your head up high. In His presence, all you can do is gaze at Him and fall in humility. Amen. Stephen was testifying, "He is alive." Amen. Stephen was saying, "This one that you crucified, He is alive, and I see Him." Amen. He said, "Heaven is open, and He is at the right hand of power." What He told you, the reason that you wanted to crucify Him, I testify to you today that the heavens are open, and the one that you crucified and you thought that you had buried, He is alive. And I testify to you today that He is sitting at the right hand of power, and it has all been given to Him.
Amen.
He was seeing the glory of God. He was seeing the glory of God. Faith opened heaven. It's not because Stephen was so eloquent. It's not because Stephen held such a great position. It was because Stephen had faith in the living Lord. This stoning did not make Stephen a martyr. It revealed him. Persecution does not create martyrs. It reveals them. Stephen was a martyr long before the first stone ever hit him. He was the first martyr to seal his testimony with his blood. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." Revelation 6:9 says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." When you hear about those across the land, we hear about brothers and sisters, and what you see today, those who are suffering with beatings, those who are having to hide in caves, those who have to hide in the woods, who don't even have the luxury of what we have here today, the freedom of what we have here today. You know, those ministers who preach the gospel and they are murdered, their lives are taken, they join Stephen under the altar. I know that you've all heard of him, and so I wanted to use two that were very familiar to the church. There was a missionary, his name was Jim Elliot. And so I know that we all know of him. He was a missionary to the Aka Indians in Ecuador. In 1948, Jim Elliot wrote in his journal, he said, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." 2 years later, he wrote, "I must not think it strange if God takes in youth, those whom I would have kept on earth till they were older. God is peopling eternity, and I must not restrict him to old men and women." On January the 8th, 1956, at the age of 29, Jim Elliot and his four comrades were called to people eternity. I want to read to you a prayer by Polycarp. He was the leader of the church in Smyrna, which we saw on there today, that the persecution that's going on in Turkey, which would be modern-day Turkey. This is the prayer he prayed before he died. And Polycarp was around 80, a little older, a little younger, I'm not quite sure. But this is what he prayed. He said, "Lord Almighty God, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have come to the knowledge of yourself, God of angels, of powers, of all creation, of all the race of saints who live in your sight, I bless you for judging me worthy this day, this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs I may share the cup of Christ, your anointed one, and so rise again to eternal life in soul and body, immortal through the power of the Holy Spirit. May I be received among the martyrs in your presence today as a rich and pleasing sacrifice. God of truth, stranger to falsehood, you have prepared this and revealed it to me, and now you have fulfilled your promise. I praise you for all things. I bless you. I glorify you through the eternal priest of heaven, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Through him be glory to you, together with him and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen." Acts chapter 7, verse 60 says, "Then he knelt down," Stephen did, "and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." In Matthew 23:33-34, it says, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." In verse 46, it said, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus laid down his life. No man took his life. Right. Now, God will allow man to take our life, but Jesus laid down his life willingly for us. Amen. What he did was a sacrifice for us that we may live. And this is what I want you to see is that Stephen was following in his Savior's footsteps. But this is to encourage you, for you not to be afraid. You look at these things, you know, we sent the children out so that you can tell your children what you think they need to know, what you think that they are able to handle, how you want to prepare them for the future. But you know what? We should not be afraid today. We should be encouraged with what the Lord will do for us when the time comes. I'm not going to say if, but I'm telling you, when it comes, Americans need to be prepared. And if you don't want to be prepared, find a church like Joel Osteen's. And that will keep you in the darkness that you need to be in so that you won't be prepared. In Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, why don't you highlight that, or you go home and write that and put that up every time you hear something like this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This dying saint was in the sight of the Lord. Does that not give you comfort? Does that not give you comfort if God calls you, if he calls you, that you should be a martyr for him? That you should take great comfort in that God's eyes are fixed upon you. His eyes were on Stephen. And from God's viewpoint, the death of Stephen was not a horrible tragedy. That's what we think, don't we? We're so moved with our emotions, with our soul. None of this service is meant to move your soul. It is meant to pierce your spirit, where change comes, because the soulish area is only temporary. But the spirit, when God pierces your spirit, there is a change. And it's not meant to touch you in your soul. Stephen's death was precious. Stephen was at his best right here. He was at his very best. Now, does God not deserve the best? Amen. There are those that we see, we think, like with Jim Elliot, so many people thought, oh, he had so much potential. He could have brought so many people to the Lord. Why did he have to die so young? Jim Elliot was serving the Lord with all of his heart, with fervor. He wasn't sitting at home in a recliner being a Christian, just coming every once in a while. But with everything, he had his family out there and he was willing to die. And God looked at him and looked at those and he was so pleased with them. He said, come home and be with me. Now, I'm just telling you, I love you and I do love Pastor Mark. And I do love my children. But I would so much rather God call me home when I am at my best for him.
Amen.
Than being lazy and slothful. What the death of the saints, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that you leave behind sorrow and suffering. You may think, well, I have a pretty good life, Pastor Maggie. I don't know who you're talking about. I'm telling you, I don't care how good you think your life is. There is sorrow and there is suffering.
Amen.
What are you leaving behind? Don't worry about your wife if you're a husband. Because let me tell you what. We have the best husband. And he's called Christ. Don't worry about your children. Think, oh God, I can't do that. Because if I die, who'll take care of my kids? You don't take care of your kids anyway. God takes care of your kids. He's such a good father. He is such a good father. We leave behind the sorrows and suffering and we go to be with the one who left heaven and shed his blood that we might be with him in his home. The Lord delights in having his people with him. And as we look at all those who have been martyred and are now being persecuted and martyred for his name's sake, Scripture tells us that he says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Stephen prayed for those who hated him not to be charged with this sin. As the church today, we look at the death of Stephen and those like him today. This did not just happen and it just happened to be written, as some people may think, in an antiquated book, some old history book, some old dusty book. It started in the infancy of the church and it continues. 65%, just a little statistic for you, but 65% of the martyrs happened in the 20th century. 65% of all the millions that have been martyred for His name's sake happened in the 20th century. As we look at the death of Stephen, those like him, here in the West, this is what happens with us. This is what we do. We beat our breasts and we say, oh, what a horrible tragedy it is. Oh, what a horrible loss it is. But heaven is growing. I love it. God is peopling heaven. He's peopling eternity. Stephen belonged to the Lord. And sometimes we're so confused. We think that we belong to ourselves. We think that this is our life. And we think that these are our children. And we think that this is what we will do. And for us, we have to change our mindset. We have to change our way of thinking. If you belong to the Lord, it should be His will, not our will. And Stephen is the perfect example for us. And we need to remember, you know, as Stephen belonged to the Lord, that we belong to the Lord. And Stephen is the reward for Jesus. We are a reward. And so precious was the death of Stephen that the Holy Spirit was precise about recording this man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. That his sermon is the longest recorded sermon, not Peter, John, or Paul. One of the first deacons of the church that all the Jewish leaders could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Not even Paul. The Holy Spirit does not record of Stephen as having a pedigree, academic achievements, prestige, influence. His death was so precious that heaven opened to him and Jesus stood. Stephen had no regrets or concerns about leaving, for he saw Jesus. The threat of death caused his faith and his courage to soar. Look at how loving and tenderly this is recorded. Remember, not so of any of the other apostles. God received Stephen and answered his prayer. Do you stop and realize that he said, do not charge them with this sin? Saul was consenting to his death. They came and they put the clothes there and he stood there and he was in absolute agreement. And Stephen, when he fell asleep before he did, he said, do not charge them with this. And God answered his prayer. He answered Stephen's prayer. He called Saul, whom we call Paul, the one consenting. God never wastes the blood of his saints. We are here to pray for our family that is suffering and to ask for courage and God's strength in the days ahead. For everyone like Stephen that is martyred, that God would bring forth a Paul. That's what we need to pray. And as uncomfortable as this may be for you today, I want to read to you something that I got revelation of, and maybe you already know it. But in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord, I had never seen that before. But there is a definite number of how many will die by the hands of God rejectors and haters. We don't realize that God knows that there is a number to be fulfilled. And so those who are waiting under the altar, he said that you're to rest. He said, those who have passed from earth to heaven have been given a white robe and are resting until the number is complete. What does this mean for us? If you have called on Jesus, then follow him. That's what it means for you. If you've called on the name of Jesus, then follow him. We have become complacent. This is what we want to do. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, to live our life to honor Him.